This is your warlord of weird, Sin Bodhi. Look both ways before you cross the street while you're skating on thin ice carrying scissors. You're listening to The Final Count.
Hi, this is former WWE superstar Kieran Cross, and you're listening to The Final Count.
This is former WWE and TNA Impact superstar Mike Knox, a.k.a. Nux. You are listening to The Final Count. Keep it tuned.
Hey everybody, Anthony Corelli here, formerly known as Santino Morella, and you are listening to The Final Count.
Yo, peeps, you're listening to The Final Count with my boy Ryan right there, bro. So listen, don't forget who's telling you this. It's your boy, Eric.
Hello everybody, it's the Croc Rockin', Nickelback Poppin', Curls for All the Girls, the Perminator, Sam Beal, as seen on Impact Wrestling, and you are listening to The Final Count.
That's right, and welcome to this week's The Final Count Spotlight. And today my guest is the 80s baby, TW3. He'll be joining me in just a few moments right here. But right now I want to just go ahead and, before we jump into our plugs, before we throw it to our plugs and promote everything, I want to first of all thank you for all of your support, for all of your following us on social media, whether that's on Instagram or on TikTok or on the X, formerly known as Twitter. That's all at The Final Count KY, or on Facebook. If you're following us on Facebook, at facebook.com/TheFinalCountKY. And again, I'd like to thank you for all of your comments, all of your likes, your shares, your posts of sharing our posts. Commenting what you like on our post, on our episodes. If you comment on our episodes, if you let us know what you like, what you don't like, we want to hear feedback from you. So do that. If you have not done so already, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and give us some feedback and info on what you like, what you don't like, what you like to hear, who you want to hear. Who would you like this to reach out to? Who would you want to hear on The Final Count Spotlight? And then let us know what you like about our Friday shows. Let us know what you like about our review shows, and what you're loving about it, what you're hating about it, what you're liking or disliking. Let us know. We love to hear feedback. We want to hear how we can make it better, what we can change. Just anything you want to give us feedback, we would love to hear your feedback. As you are our listeners, and you are listeners, and you're listening, you're supporting by listening. And so even if you just comment, say, hey, I didn't really like this, or I didn't like that, or I love this, I love that. That's all support, and we thank you for all of your support. I thank you for every bit of support that you give, and it doesn't go unnoticed or unrecognized or unthanked, because I do thank you for all of your support. We do thank you here at The Final Count for all of your support and all your listens as well, and that is support as well. But right now I want to go ahead and mention, before I throw it to some plugs, we do have, remember, WWEshop.com. We are affiliated with WWEshop.com. And so if you use our link, which we share on our Facebook, on our Instagram, even on the Twitter post, if you check when we share those posts, if you want to go on WWE.com and maybe purchase yourself a championship belt, maybe you want to purchase a t-shirt, your favorite superstar's t-shirt. Maybe you want to purchase a figure, a wrestling figure on WWE Shop. Maybe you want to purchase your favorite superstar's gear or their figures or something like that. Whatever that might be, if you want to support us by using our link on WWE Shop, go and use our link when you see us post. If you're about to make a purchase from WWE Shop, use our link and go and support us in that way. And then on top of all of our other ways, whether it be collar and elbow, and then whether it be the option that you do have to support us. It's not mandatory. You don't have to. But in Spotify, you will see the option to be able to support us in that way monetarily if you would like to make a donation. You don't have to. There's no obligation to. Everything is for free. This is for free. The show is for free. We're not charging for the show. The show is for free. All of our episodes are for free. I'm not going to charge you for an episode. But if you want to support, just to support us monetarily, you can. That's not something where you have to. We're not going to twist your arm to. Just making that available to you if you would like to. And in that way. And so just wanted to mention that. And then also, again, thank you for, if you do decide to, thank you for donating. Thank you for supporting us in that way as well. And again, thank you for all of your support. But right now, I'm going to throw it to our plugs for our social media pages and for our collar and elbow. And we're going to throw it to Al Snow. And we will get right into the interview with the 80s baby, CW3. You can find us on social media by going to facebook.com/thefinalcountky on Facebook, and then on Instagram and Twitter at thefinalcountky, and on YouTube you can find all of our past episodes by just typing in the search bar thefinalcountky. Also, I mentioned we are now on more platforms for podcasts, such as Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and also on iTunes. So be sure to check us out on all those platforms that you can find podcasts on. The Final Count is on all of those platforms that I just mentioned. I want to go ahead and mention that if you go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use the promo code FinalCountKY, you can save 10% at checkout when you use our promo code, and you will be supporting not only Collar and Elbow, but you will also be supporting the Final Count and getting merch and all that good stuff. Collar and Elbow has good swag. Definitely recommend it. Very comfortable, great fitting swag, t-shirts and shirts. So definitely go over and check out collarandelbowbrand.com. Use the promo code FinalCountKY, that's in all caps, and save yourself 10% at checkout, and tell them the Final Count sent you, and say hi to Al Snow. But with more, speaking of Al Snow, with more on collarandelbowbrand.com, with more on Collar and Elbow, here is Al Snow.
Wrestling, a love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand, The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
What's up, guys? It is Ryan here, and I am with the 80s baby, TW3. How you doing, TW3?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me on the Final Count Spotlight this week. I'm ready to get right into it if you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So when did you first get into the pro wrestling business?
I got into the pro wrestling business in 2006.
Awesome. So, like, what was your decision on that? Did you grow up watching wrestling?
So I grew up watching wrestling since I was 5 years old. first wrestling I ever seen that I remember was Clash of the Champions with Sting versus Ric Flair. And I was just like really enthused in what I was watching, like Sting in the bright colors and the face paint and
right.
Flair with the loud noises in his robe. And I was just into it, man. My uncle was heavily into wrestling too, so that's why I watched it with. And it kind of took off from there. I always said I wanted to be a professional wrestler. Obviously back then, you know, guys were 6'6", 300 something pounds. So I said it, but I never really thought it was going to be something that happened. And then one day I met the right people at the right time.
All right. Were Sting and Ric Flair some of your inspirations, or who were some of your inspirations in the wrestling business?
Absolutely. So Sting and Ric Flair for sure. I was really heavily into The Undertaker. So as a kid, when people were probably running away from televisions, I was running closer. I thought he was cool. I thought the fact that he came out looking like a dead guy was awesome. So The Undertaker for sure, too. And then as I got into wrestling more and more, obviously guys like Rey Mysterio, Dane Malenko, all the Cruiserweights, Hoovy, all those guys became influences, too. And even Booker T at that. He was one of my favorites, too, in WCW. So. Yeah.
Awesome. I love that. Those are some good inspirations right there. A lot of people to take different things from and make it your own too right there. Who were you trained by?
I'm trained by a few different people. So one guy is Shane Hills. He ran the Dojo of Pain for a very long time. It's where Ken Anderson was also trained. Also trained by Swoggle. He went by Short Stack at the time. But Swoggle, Dylan Postel is my other trainer. Trained by Jay De Niro. He was going by Jay Cash at the time. If anybody's familiar with OVW now, Jay De Niro is one of my trainers as well. A lot of training, a lot of different seminars, and then some training that I did heavily too. My finishing training, I would say, learning how to do a lot of things that I knew how to do in the ring selling wise would be Angel Armani, who's a big guy who's trained guys like Juice Robinson for a while and Austin Aries. So, yeah. I've got some good trainers.
Nice. What was that training like with just your initial training? What was that like?
They beat the hell out of me, man. They wanted to make sure that I wanted to be in this business for the right reasons. And, yeah, I mean, I got beat up. That's what it is. You know what I mean?
Got some of that old-fashioned training.
Yeah, and I often wish that a lot of people still train people like that to this day, because I honestly believe there's a lot of people in wrestling who shouldn't be. The school that I trained at, I actually purchased not too long ago, and I'm reopening it, envisioned underneath that same style, but also a little bit of what OVW does too, because I need to get back to that, because too many people are just letting this business nowadays to me, and it shouldn't be that way. You should have to really want to be here. So,
no, I completely agree, and I love that you're reopening that school. That's pretty cool. That's really
Thanks,
cool
man.
Right there. Do you remember your first match? And if so, what was that like?
I'm not sure. Like, is this going to be edited? Is it going to be, if I swear, is it going to be, is that right? Okay. My first match is what we call in the business the drizzling shits. My first match was against Justin Dredd at the Reedsville Picnic in Reedsville, Wisconsin. I was a heel. My first gimmick was this towel boy guy who came from the Hamptons of New York. And I had like a whole group around me. They weren't with me for that match. And let's just say I went out there and I forgot anything and everything I was supposed to be doing. So it was bad. It was really bad. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, everyone's first match, no matter who I interview, it always seems their first match is always so interesting. It's an interesting story and stuff like that. And so I'd love to hear everyone's first match. While we're talking about matches, if you could choose three matches as your most favorite matches that you've had thus far in your career, what matches would you pick?
So I'd have to really sit and think about that, right? Because I've done a lot of cool things, I've had a lot of great matches. So I'll say this. Any match that I've had with Joey Avalon would be in there. My match with MVP that I had right before he went back to WWE, that would be in there. And then most recent, I had a match with Silas Young in Upper Michigan, and that was an amazing match. So I would say, like I said, any Joey Avalon match, the MVP match, and then the match I had with Silas Young. Just all those matches were just anytime I was in the ring with those two guys in particular, and then even MVP, I learned a lot. So, yeah.
There we go. Well, I want to ask you, how did you come up with your name, TW3? Like, how did you come up with the name? How did you come up with the moniker, the 80s baby?
So Swaggle gave me my name. My name stood for Thomas Walton III. That was the towel boy gimmick. That was all that good stuff. And then when they turned on me and I needed to be on my own, I decided to become what initially was like the street version of Thomas Walton III, which would be TW3. Had dreads for a long time. I looked like Kofi for a long time. So for a while I was the dreadlock dynamo TW3. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, it was a time for everybody to step back, right, and try and figure out what they need to do to be able to survive in this wrestling game. And I stepped back and I looked at all these things. And one of the things I never really truly liked about my character is it wasn't me. Now, when I say it wasn't me, I was really portraying a character. The 80s baby TW3, that's exactly who you see. You see Tommy. That's who I am. I'm turned up to 1,000. I grew up on 80s music. I grew up in the 80s. You know what I mean? That Kangol, that tracksuit, I wore all that stuff, pretending to be LL Cool J and you know what I mean? Like, and Run DMC. That was me. So how easy is it for me to just say, hey, why don't you just be you and do what you would normally do? So the dancing, all that stuff, that's me in a nutshell. If you see me outside of, you know, of the ring, if you were running me in a nightclub or a bar, I could be in a corner by myself or with a group of friends. If there's no dance floor, I'm still dancing because it's just who I am. You know what I mean? And then it was just incorporating that with wrestling. And I think I've done that pretty well. So
I feel you on that. And dancing and wrestling, hey, they both kind of go together, you know, and so I love that.
Exactly.
How would you describe your in-ring style? To those who may not have seen you work, how would you describe your in-ring style?
So as I've gotten up in age, I don't fly as much, but I still would say I'm a high flyer, but I also say I'm a striker. I'm a ground guy too. I can do just about anything, man. I'm a hybrid. Let's just put it that way. I call myself a hybrid because I think I can do just about anything, and I've done just about anything in the ring. I can brawl with the best of them. I can strike with the best of them. Heck, I've done strong style matches against guys from Japan. I you know what I mean? I'm just me. I'm a hybrid. That's what TW3 is. So
there you go. What was it like to work with Zicky Dice?
So Zicky, when he was around, man, I'll put this out there. Me and Zicky still talk to this day. But Zicky was the magic man back then. Just graduated from Seth Rollins school. And that's the thing he was doing. He was the magic man and would do magic. And it was cool. Zicky is a cool dude. Like I said, we still talk to this day. There's conversations we have a lot. And it was great working with him because I had been in the business a lot longer than him at that point, and I got to teach him and show him how to do things in different ways. And he'll even tell you, he accredits one of the matches we had in Freeport, Illinois. It was like one of those learning matches where he was like, yeah, okay, I need to do this. Because the guy was already doing well, but he needed to revamp himself just like he did too. And working with Zick, man, I love that dude. I love him to death forever, man. He's awesome. So, yeah.
He really does seem like an awesome guy to be around. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Definitely. What did it mean to you to become the Water City Champion?
The Water City Champion. So that was for a company, ACW, which is basically the home company I started with, but revamped when Swaggle bought the company. Water City Champion, man, I was the first ever. So that meant a lot to me because I always saw it as when a company puts you, you know, in the top peak, when they say, hey, you're going to be the guy and they give you that opportunity. It's an honor, right? Because like you're doing something in that company, especially when it's the first time that nobody else is ever going to get to do. So I felt honored to be the first Water City Champion. I thought I had paid my dues enough to deserve that spot. And it was great, man. I held that championship for a long time, too. it took a lot for people to get off me, but I mean, fans wanted to see what they wanted to see. And at that time it was the Dreadlock Dynamo TW3. So yeah.
That has to be like just an amazing feeling, and just like a, especially being the first champion, that definitely had to be an honor for sure. Like, oh, any yeah. time it is, but first champion, that's definitely
wow. That's always going to be a big thing on anybody's list, man. I mean, there's a company I work for up in Green Bay. It's called Raging Pro Wrestling. And again, another honor. I got to be his first Cruiserweight champion. I actually just won that championship back. What's today? Monday? So, yeah, I just won that back 2 days ago. So I'm the first two-time Cruiserweight champion now, too. You know what I mean? It's like those honors are great because it shows you that they're paying attention to who the fans want to see and where they want to see them. So, yeah.
Most definitely. Exactly. What was it like working with Justin Dredd in 2018, 10 years after you worked him with your first match?
Me and Dredd have magic anytime after that first match. Like every time as the years progress, we have magic. And I love working with him. He's a solid dude. He knows the business very well. Dredd can fly and strike with the best just like anybody else. But he's got so much of a great mind for wrestling. And genuinely, he's one of the nicest guys, if not the nicest guys I've ever met in the wrestling business. And there's about 150,000 people that will probably tell you that, because Dredd's just a nice dude. So it was great working with him. I love getting in the ring with him every time, because each one of us, I think, pushed each other to up our game every time, too. So it was always good to work with Dredd. I miss him too. I think he retired too soon, but everybody's got to go when they got to go. So,
right, exactly. Now I imagine, like, after 10 years, after having that first match with him, that had to be pretty cool.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. Every time we did something, I mean, we had a really, really good TLC match too, which honestly would have capped off like the years of us going back and forth at each other, and that match was really good too. That night won the King of the Cruiserweight title from him. So it was good. It was a good time working with Dredd.
Speaking of the King of the Cruiserweight title, what did it mean to you to be the WPW King of the Cruiserweights champion?
That meant everything too, man, because there's a lot of Cruiserweights here. There's not as many heavyweights in this area of Wisconsin, you know what I mean, as there are other places. And, I mean, that basically said that they were like, hey, you're the best one we got here. So let's have you take this and run with it. And that was a traveling belt. I don't know if anybody like knew that, but like that championship's been over to actual Japan. It's actually a world title. So when it got to WPW and I was the first one to get it there, you know, another honor. It was great. I felt privileged and honored to have that moniker, because I truly went out there every night that I had that title, and I mean, any night, and I showed I was the King of the Cruiserweights, because I would do exactly what Cruiserweight would do, and that's entertain. So,
for sure, for sure. And I definitely love the name of that title. I was like, when I saw the name of it, I was like, whoa, King of, I like that. It's different than just Cruiserweight title. Like,
exactly, exactly. I'm not sure who made up that title and where it first came from. I know it's a Reg Parks design, so it's like a really expensive title. But I do know that that championship has been everywhere. It's been to Canada, too. So, I mean, it's been moving.
You mentioned working with MVP before he returned to WWE. What was that match like?
Match was great. If ever anybody wanted to learn how to work how we call a TV match, a TV-style match, I got my first glimpse with MVP, because the guy had been on TV for years and knew exactly what he was doing. And I just had to sit back, listen, and just wait. And that's exactly what I did. And it worked. It worked out great. It's probably, like I said, one of the best matches I've ever had, because we went out there and we didn't do anything. And the crowd loved it. You know what I mean? So, and I thought it was great. And we got to hang out a lot afterwards and talk about things. And he was just a really good guy, too. And it was awesome to see months later that he was back at WWE. So
that's awesome. Right. Like right before he went back to WWE. That's so cool. And then another person who you also already mentioned, Booker T, you actually were in the ring with him and were on the receiving end of a bookend. What was that was great. Receiving that like?
That was great. Sometimes the old me ran my mouth a little bit too much and got in Booker's face, and I pointed at him. He kept saying five time, and I was like, yeah, five time. Okay, five time. And I poked at him again, and I poked a bear one too many, swung at him, and he dropped me.
Oh, no.
So, he dropped me.
The inner child in you must have been like, wow.
The inner child in me screamed, like, this is awesome. But the whole part of the rest of me said, oh, this hurts so bad.
Right. How did you find the Great Lakes Championship Wrestling come to be?
Dave here on Great Lakes has been around forever. It takes a lot to get the attention of Dave Hero, because Dave likes what he likes, and he knows who he can make stars, and he knows what stars are supposed to look like. And honestly, right place, right time, doing the right thing. And I got Dave's attention, and from there on, just ran with it. Dave's become more than just a promoter I work for. He's become a friend. Definitely has helped me in a lot of different ways with the learning parts of wrestling. I mean, I've been doing this 18 years, but learning, you still are learning every day, you know, and listening to the right people and knowing what to say and what not to say, and always keeping your character the way that it should be, and not just your character in the ring, but your character out of the ring, making sure that, you know, you're the most honorable person. And Dave's taught me a lot of that. And I appreciate him for that more than he'll ever know. Just words of encouragement, things like that. He just told me not too long ago how proud of him, of me that he was for everything that I've done, even going down to OVW and learning and doing as well as I'm doing and adapting and just taking a chance on myself, because a lot of people don't do that. Yeah. There's a lot of people that they put down, you know, what I've done as far as going down to Louisville and learning and not doing as much more as I've been doing on the outside in the indies, because they're afraid. And I'll say it, like, people are afraid to take a chance on themselves sometimes. People are afraid to take to bet on themselves. Something I've never been afraid of is doing just that. I bet on myself every time I go in the ring. I bet on myself every time I step in a new company. I'm just a gambler, man, when it comes to that. And I'm a risk taker. And I'll take that risk, and a lot of people won't, and they don't like me for it, but that's okay, because I'm still going to do me at the end of the day, and I'm going to thrive, I'm going to succeed, and they'll just have to be in the back seat or the rear view watching as I go to the top.
Exactly. You, and I couldn't have said it better than myself. You have to take that bet, take that gamble on yourself. You know, you really have to, and it seems like you have really done that, and like you said, you've left – where you're familiar with and came to Louisville and came to WWE, and it's great, like, that you've gotten your name here. We'll jump into WWE in a minute, but actually right now we'll jump into WWE. But how did your time in WWE come to be?
OVW, I've known Al for years because he's worked for Dave at Six Flags. So it's just been something I've wanted to do for quite some time. COVID happened. I listened to Dave, I took some advice on my eating habits and my workout habits. I got my body in a better shape than it is now. I'm older than I, you know what I mean? I wish I had done it younger, but I'm older now, and I've got my body into the shape that it is now and continue to progress in that. And then I just finally said, hey, Al, I'd like to come down and get your license, and we'll go from there. And that's kind of how I came, you know what I mean? I told Dave, I told Al, and I took a chance, man. I took a leap of faith. And honestly, I did the right thing, because it's done nothing but make things better for me everywhere. So.
Yeah, and I'm sure, like, as in your time of being in OVW, it's probably put more eyes on you, you know, because OVW is such a nationally known wrestling promotion, and even internationally even. And so I'm sure it put a lot of eyes on you for sure.
I've got fans from Shanghai. Like, I've got fans that literally have added me on different social medias and then messaged me saying 80s baby and things like that, and it's because of OVW. I wrestle places now that I probably never would have wrestled for because of the exposure. I've wrestled in places because of the exposure. It's put a lot of eyes on me, and mostly all positive. They're not, I haven't really had negative you know, feedback except for the haters that were already mentioned. You know what I mean? But like, it's all been positive stuff, and it's stuff that like I, as a person, I take and I really feel it. Like I appreciate all that love. I've met fans in Louisville at Davis that have become really good fans, and not just that, but have become friends because they like really take an interest in what I do, and I appreciate that. The Southern hospitality thing in Louisville is a real thing. That Kentucky Southern hospitality is real. And I feel that every time I go out in Davis, and every time I go out on, you know, on that ramp, it's getting louder and louder for me. And that means I'm doing something right. So with that, you know what I mean? I couldn't ask for anything more.
Exactly. And that's what I like to say, a thing here. I like to say, you know, OVW, because I've been going to OVW for years, just going to shows and everything. And even off and on, you know, sometimes here, especially the last couple of years, I haven't been get to go every, you know, every week or anything but like that. But, you know, every time I get to go there, and I've been going there since October of 2004. Okay. I was going every week back in WWE developmental days and everything. And so I always call OVW fans, wrestlers alike, and staff, everything. It's all like family. It's all one big happy family. And so, yeah, OVW really is a special place.
Yeah, it truly is.
Can you talk about what it was like to work with EC3?
Working with EC3 on several occasions now, it's been great, to be honest with you. You want to talk about a mind for wrestling, a mind for just life, period? It's that guy. He's an amazing mind. He's an amazing person. A very nice guy. We've gotten to bond not only in the ring but outside of the ring. We talk. It's another person I talk to almost every other day. We speak, and we speak about wrestling, speak about life, you know. Have a few things in common. So working with EC3 has been great. Congrats to him. He just won that title too. So yes. Congrats to him for winning the NWA World's Championship, because he deserves it. That's going to help that company a lot in the long run too. So
Definitely. That is, shout out to EC3 on the NWA World Heavyweight Championship win right there. Yeah, that's really awesome. Now, let me ask you a question here. Do you prefer tag team wrestling or singles wrestling? Because those out there might not know that you do tag team wrestling as well.
So, honestly, I don't have a preference, because to me, I can go out there and make magic with either. Tag team wrestling is better on my body, but I love singles wrestling. I started a tag team. I've done a lot of tag teams, but I started a tag team a little over a year ago now with Isaiah Moore. We're two decades, one highlight. Isaiah's had injuries and other things that have kept us from tagging together as much, but those times are passing, and we're going to be doing it again soon. But I guess it depends on who I'm with too. I have a lot of fun, you know, with my tag partners. And when tag teams come along, it just depends on the nature of how I'm feeling, I would guess. Singles wrestling is great because you're in control of your own destiny. But tag team wrestling, when you have somebody else who's supporting you on the back end of it, that's always fun too. So I honestly don't have a preference, man. I like them both the same.
All right, that's a good answer. That's a good, really good answer right there. And speaking of two decades, one highlight, what was it like to become one half of the Wisconsin Pro Wrestling Tag Team Champions as part of Two Decades, One Highlight with your partner, the Human Highlight, Isaiah Moore?
I was great because we were the rebuilding branch of that company for their tag division. And we went out there and we showed everybody every night, like, this is tag team wrestling. This is what you can expect here at WPW. So it was great. And had that company not done what it did and had to fold, you know, it could have continued, but it didn't really exactly fold. Truth be told, I bought the company, and I dissolved the company because I'm reopening something else of my own up here in Green Bay, under a different banner. So maybe Isaiah and I'll get to do it again. We'll see. But there's other championships out there that Isaiah and I can go for. Two decades, one highlight isn't done yet, so people can look out for that too. Maybe even an OVW. You never know.
That's what I was going to ask. Any chance we get y'all in OVW together?
There's been many a talks. So it's just the cards have to align. We have to make sure everything's right on both our ends. So
for sure, definitely. You recently, correct me if I'm wrong, got to have a match with Doug Basham. What was that like?
Oh, we call Coach Doug. Doug Basham is a great guy, man. It was good. It was great. In Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Doug and I just had a match. And if you ask Doug, he'll tell you I beat him up real bad. But we had a great time. We made magic. That, honestly, that could have also gone in one of my top three matches, because working with Doug was just great. It was a great learning experience, and everything we did out there, it worked. And he beat me, so I want a rematch, Coach. But, yeah, it was great. I enjoyed that very much. And, again, that's another Dave Hero opportunity, giving me an opportunity to not only, like, grow in the ring, but to display what I've been learning in OVW with a guy who's been teaching it.
Yes. Doug is a alumni here of the Final Count podcast. And so, like, yeah, shout out to Doug Basham. And what a great guy. What a great guy to learn from as well. Knowledge of experience. And
absolutely.
So much. Great learning tree right there. We're going to step away from wrestling for a little bit. Are you a gamer by chance?
I'm not the biggest gamer. Wrestling games, some like character games, but not the biggest gamer.
Okay. Well, let me ask you if you created a wrestler or created yourself in any video game, not even necessarily wrestling, but just in any video game, as any character, what type of video game would it be? And what would you call your character?
I created myself in WWE. I won't lie. I think everybody does that, right? All wrestlers do it. And I just called myself me. I was still the 80s baby, TW3. Put myself on the mid-card, going for a mid-card title, and just had fun like that, you know what I mean? I not a lot of games that I've really created myself in other than wrestling games. I tried to create myself in a baseball game once, but he turned out like 6'2 and like 240. It was pretty bad, so... Not the best guy designing things like that, but I had a good time doing it.
I don't have any talent either as far as like creating things either. And I've never tried the creating myself in a – I don't think I've tried it in a WWE game or a baseball game, but that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Oh, yeah. What is the best advice you've been given in the wrestling business thus far?
The best advice I was given in wrestling had to be, let me make sure I say this the correct way. Don't get into this business expecting to make money, because if you get into the business expecting to do it, you'll never do it. That's one of the best things ever told to me. And when I got into wrestling, I didn't really care about money. I still, to this day, don't care about money. I always cared about being the best wrestler that I could be to get to the point of where I wanted to be at. And I believe in the 18 years I've been doing this, I have done so much more than a lot of other people. And I'm almost content where I'd say if I needed to, I could step away. The only thing I'm missing right now is Japan. I've wrestled Japanese wrestlers, but I need to go there. That's my ultimate. I mean, I've got several extra work checks from WWE. So Vince McMahon has signed at least 10 checks for me. You know, mm-hmm. I've done Impact. I've done, when it was TNA, I did the first gut check. The guy who eliminated me was Gregory Iron. You know what I mean? Great guy. So it's like, I've done all those things. I've done AEW, you know, Ring of Honor, extra work and other stuff, tryouts and, you know, just other TV work for them. I've done all that stuff. Canada tour. You know what I mean? I'm going to Mexico this year. I'm doing and realizing my dream in a lot of ways, but like Japan is my ultimate and I'm missing it by just that much. Like I have ways and connections to go there, but I don't feel like you've earned it until they want to bring you there. When they say, hey, here's a ticket, you come over. Because not that I'm against flying myself somewhere, because I'm not, but Japan, you need to be brought there to actually say, hey, I've been there. So
nice. All right. I like that you have that goal and that dream of going there too. And and that advice, that's some good advice right there, because I feel like so many people do, they get into the wrestling business and they're like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, become a WWE superstar or something. They have their dreams, I guess, too big, would you say, you know? Because they do, they think, oh, I'm gonna make a lot of money in it. And there are people that make a lot of money in it. Let's just be honest, there are. But odds are, you know, probably not to an extent at some time, you know, at some cases, I would say. And I could be completely wrong, but I would just say that's what I would say. And so I definitely love that advice. Get in it for the love of it, you know, get in it because you have a passion for it. And it sounds like you definitely have a passion for it, and that shows in your work too.
I appreciate that. And I do. I have a passion for wrestling. And don't get me wrong, the goal was always WWF, WWE. The problem is, realistically, I knew that I was just not the guy who was big enough to do that. My only chance and my only hope at that point was when 205 Live came out, when the Cruiserweight Cup came out and things like that. You know what I mean? But even then, it was like, there are so many great wrestlers out there, but there's even more great cruiserweights. So that's even like a, hey, if I get in, you know, possibility. Like, it's crazy. I know and have wrestled and been in the ring with so many guys that have done so many things, like Moxley. I wrestled Moxley years and years and years ago. Same Moxley that he is now. You know what I mean? My first tryout match with WWE was against Mustafa Ali. Okay? So, like, there's another guy that I knew on the indies. Samurai Del Sol. Kalisto, you know, I know and have been in the ring with a lot of these guys, and it's great to see them be able to realize their dream. But like I said, I always knew the reality of the situation was I have to still be better than the next guy, and then better than the next guy, and better than the next guy. Or you just have to have lightning in a bottle and be in the right place at the right time. And that doesn't always happen for people. So eventually you get there and you say, okay, this probably isn't the goal anymore. Now the goal is Impact, or now the goal is Ring of Honor, or now the goal is now AEW. You know what I mean? So I always believed that with a passion that you have for something, you continuously chase that passion and that dream. And even if it directs or diverts to a different path, you still chase that dream. So
that's some more good advice right there. I'd say that's true too. Yes, for sure. If you could have any dream match, who would your opponent be? What type of match would it be? And then where would the venue or location be?
Finn Balor, Tokyo Dome.
I love that. I'm sure that'd be a good match too.
Finn Balor, Tokyo Dome. One-on-one straight up.
All right. I'd love to see that. That'd be very cool. Be a good match. Yeah. And in the Tokyo Dome too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be that right there would be my ultimate match, and I just enjoy Finn's work. I like Finn Balor. I liked him, you know, as Fergal. You know what I mean? I like Finn. I like what he does. I think our styles actually complement each other. I used to do this as the double stomp. You know what I mean? Like, that was the reason I was using the double stomp as a finish when I started doing it, was because of Finn Balor, because of the things he did in Japan. So,
all right, that was pretty cool. If you could create your own personal match type specifically for you, what would it involve, and what would the name of the match be? I'm sorry.
It'd probably be a retro 80s party. So a retro 80s party match would consist of like different little things that were used in the 80s. It'd be a hardcore match, obviously, something where they can use these things as weapons, but it'd be like an old school looking 80s roller rink, I would say. You know what I mean? They would make it, envision it looking like that. And I mean, heck, even have the referee be on skates. I don't know. I just always thought that'd be really cool, like to have some type of like in a roller rink, but like have all these 80s things done. And then it's like, it's just a street fight. You know what I mean? You don't need a ring. You fight amongst with all these things. You got a boombox over here. You got, you know what I mean, a tape deck over here. You got all these different things you can use. So
we need to make that thing come to life.
Let's try. Let's see who wants to book it.
For sure. What are some of your goals in the wrestling business in the next 5 years?
Japan. Like, Mexico is one, but Japan. In the next 5 years, I want Japan. Because, again, if I get Japan, I can walk away happy. I'm getting up there in age. I know I don't look it, but again, born in 83, man. You know what I mean? And I've been doing this a long time. And like, the writing's on the wall, but it's not exactly there yet for me. But I see it, but I know exactly what I want. What I want in 5 years is Japan. That's the only thing I want. Success in OVW and Japan. Those are the only two things.
And I'm definitely pulling for that to happen for you. Definitely hoping to see you get over to Japan like you want to. And I'm sure that will come to pass for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any upcoming shows you would like to promote?
Oh, this week is going to be crazy. Obviously, we got OVW on Fight TV Thursday night. That's my first day. Friday night, the Showcase of the Champions match. I have a match against The System. It's at Legacy Pro Wrestling, Wisconsin. That's Friday night at 7 p.m. That night, I believe, it's Chavo Guerrero is going to be the special guest. It was Booker T, but I think he's gone now. So Chavo Guerrero will be the special guest there. Then Saturday, back up for OVW again, Lexington, Kentucky. I think it's KS Bar, something like that. I have to look, but Lexington, Kentucky, you know, OVW continues. And then Sunday, I finally get a break. So I'll just plug those for now because it's going to be a crazy weekend.
All right. There you go, fans. If you're listening, I want you to go ahead and get out to these shows if you're in the area. Spend your hard-earned money and go see some really good, really great professional wrestling. And go check out the 80s Baby TW3.
And then yeah, promoters out there, too.
What was that?
I was saying promoters out there, too. I don't have a regular job anymore. This is all I do. So you got shows on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, I'm available. Anybody wants to at the official, what is it? At the underscore official underscore TW3 on Instagram. That's where I do all my bookings. So sorry, I just wanted to do that real quick and let everybody know I'm available for those
bookings. You're completely fine. How can fans find you on social media?
So again, Instagram is the underscore official underscore TW3. And then, on what is it? X now, it's not Twitter anymore. I still kind of use it. So, that's going to be Thomas Walton and then three I's. It doesn't matter if they're lowercase or, uppercase, stands for three, obviously. And then, what's the other one that's associated with Instagram? You could probably just click on that one and find that one too. And then other than that, those are the only ones I use. I'm going to start using TikTok again soon, but until I do, I'm not going to put that out there. So,
all right, fans, go follow him on all his social media. And if you're a promoter out there, go and get him and book him on your show. You won't be disappointed. I can promise you that. And then how can fans find merch from TW3?
They can hit me up on any of my socials and request it. So I don't do pro wrestling tees, and it's nothing against them. But I have my own machine, so I make a lot of my own stuff, a lot of my own merchandise. So, again, message me. I can message you back, and we can talk about what you want to buy from me. Shirts, hats, wristbands, all those things. I make all my stuff. There's only one other place I get my stuff from, and that's Hanson Screen Printing. And if they have a web store or something I end up setting up, that's another thing you can do. But otherwise, just message me on socials. And as long as you got PayPal or Venmo or Cash App, we'll make it happen.
Go get yourself some TW3 merch, fans. And TW3 right now, I'd like to thank you for coming on the Final Count and being on our spotlight this week. And you're welcome to come back anytime, sir.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me, and I'll come back anytime you want me to.
Thank you. There you have it, fans. That is my interview with the 80s baby, TW3. And again, I'd like to thank TW3 for being our guest on this week's spotlight. But right now, it's time to announce next week's guest. Next week, right here on the Final Count Spotlight, I'll be joined by the star of the show, Star Rider. That's right, Star Rider will be right here on the Final Count Spotlight next week. So don't forget to come back next week and hear the star of the show, Star Rider, right here on the Final Count Spotlight next week. But for now, as I say every week, we will see you down the road. 1, 2, 3.